If the road were easy, everyone would take it. We don't shy away from challenges. We dive in. And now, live from an undisclosed location in FEMA Region 10, it's your host, Joshua Michael.
All right, welcome, folks. Joshua Michael, Noncompliant America, and it's April 6, 2024. There is zero downtime happening. As you know, we're in the biggest election cycle of the year, of the anything that we've seen. There's a massive amount of things going on around the world. We got all this hype and fanfare around the eclipse. I want to get into that. What does it mean? Are they manufacturing a crisis similar to what they did with COVID, or is there a real spiritual thing going on? There's things happening all over the world surrounding the hype of this eclipse. But we got special guest Mark Thielman in the house today, and we're going to talk about the state of the ORP, kind of what's going on in his world, what's going on in his life. And we just want to dive into it. We want to inform you guys and let you guys know what's going on. He's been under a massive amount of attacks. We want to give him a platform to speak his truth, to talk about what's been happening, what's going on, what his future plans are, because I think he's a mover and a shaker. He's a disruptor into the stronghold, stayover, holdover Rhino Republicans that have been basically capturing the state for a very, very long time. I think Thielman's been a very integral part in, you know, breaking through that ironclad system, such as the Drazens and the McQuistons and, you know, the Solomons and all of these people, all these, you know, do-gooders that are going to state that they have your back. They really don't. And it's really kind of coming out. And I think this has something to do with the overall picture, the bigger picture, and the spiritual enlightenment and the greater awakening that we're in with everything going on in the world. But more importantly, it's all kind of coming down to a head. And I believe that we're going to have the craziest year. We thought 2020 was crazy. We thought 2021 was crazy. We thought 2022 was crazy. Then it's three. And now we're in 24. Now it's all kind of coming to a head to where we're really seeing, you know, everything kind of uncloak. And we're really seeing who the players are and who's really on what side of the fence, you know, with the great thing of the internet, with X. You guys are live streaming right now. We're on X. If you want to chime in or have something to say, go ahead and hit us up. But Mark, what's been going on, bro?
Well, as you know, both in my personal life, I'm in the process of a divorce with my wife. And again, like I had mentioned earlier, and we were talking, it's reasonably amicable, although, and the politics has a lot to do with it. I did not realize during the campaign and the COVID and the 2020-2021 crazy that I was out front and center on as the superintendent kept his school open.
Sure.
As you know, I told Kate Brown to stick it on masks, and we gave parents their rights back. And those were big victories politically, as you know, but they come with a cost. And what I didn't realize is just how much uncertainty and insecurity that was creating for my wife, who wasn't wired for politics. I had no rational concept of the level of fear I think that she was feeling. And this is something I've recently come to understand as we've gone through the process. And, you know, with divorce, you have to communicate back and forth. I'm representing myself, but her attorney. And I think that's been healing to some degree. So this is a tough business. And so what I did is I retreated a little bit and I got down on my foxhole and I started focusing on my getting my two kids, I got two left in the house, getting them through high school and focusing on just getting things stable. And it was interesting to see how many people were reaching out to me, worried, you know, you've been quiet, what's going on? And what I told everybody is, don't worry, I'm going to be getting my feet under me soon. And that happened a couple weeks ago. So we're back out with the election integrity cases. Battleground is up and active again. We're bringing in a reasonably healthy stream of donations, getting we're at a writ of certiorari with the Supreme Court. And we got a lot of interest and a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon on this thing. And again, that's the confidence case, right? Sure. Confidence being everything. So I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm seeing a lot of good things happening. I am not seeing the kind of progress I would like to see with getting our own Oregon Republican Party squared away.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Oregon is, as far as the Republican Party goes, they're very scattered, and it seems like it's very dysfunctional and disorganized and in disarray, when arguably I would absolutely agree that it is. But I would also say that it's a necessary progress. It's a necessary thing that needs to happen. You know, when you have cancer inside your body, you have to undergo an excruciating amount of different treatments. Now, whether you believe in chemo or not, or natural or whatever, I personally believe that there's alternative solutions to cancer, depending on the stage that it's at. But either way, you know, most people go on the chemo path. That's not a walk in the park, and it's excruciating. It almost kills your body, but you have to cut that cancer out. And I think that that's what we're undergoing right now. The new right, or the new Republican movement, which I think that you're a part of, I'm a part of it. All of these people were trying to get a stronghold and take the reins from these people that have essentially captured this state for many, many, many years. And they have all their embeds in, and their infrastructure and their money supply, which is foreign funded in some cases, out of state funding in some cases, all of these entities that are trying to capture. Because understand, Oregon is one of the most beautiful states in the country, I believe. It has everything. It has mountains, it has desert, it has ocean, it has all of these things. It has the potential to be a massive artery for the rest of this country, and for transport goods, all this stuff coming in from the eastern part of the world. Oregon can do that, right? It has so much potential. So that's why they have to have a stronghold, because understand, it's not just a culture war that we're fighting and anything else. It's an economic war. It's an economic state. And through that is transport, trade, goods, services, things like that. We have all of that stuff. Notice they're cutting off the timber industry. Now they're coming after the water. Like, why on earth would they be going after hard commodities that we in Oregon have the freshest, best water, one of the best timber, you know, states is right here. They're shutting it off to try to deindustrialize us, to get us to comply. But also the importance of commodities into the future and for manufacturing and things like that. Oregon is a hub. So all the money is being pushed in here. We're going to have opposition. We're going to have traitors. We're going to have infiltrators within the Republican Party that, you know what? They got shiny tongues, and they seem interesting, and they seem like they have our back. For example, I think McQuiston's in like Mar-a-Lago right now with Carrie Lake or something. Like, you know, you understand, you guys, these people, they're playing you like a fiddle, and you have to do some more digging, and you have to like get more involved. And the only way you can do that is to start asking questions, to start going to city council meetings, to start going to these PCP things, become a PCP, right? Go to your county elections, go to your county meetings. See what's going on. And I promise you, you'll be like, oh, wow. Yeah. You know, I see what's going on. I want to be involved. And then ask real questions, ask things that you're thinking about. I think that that's how we kind of restore things back. So Mark, back to you. And then we got Ben Edel on. We'll get you on the next segment, Ben. We'll have you jump into the conversation here, but real quick, it's just, where are you at? You got a no confidence case going on, and now it's all the way up to the Supreme Court. Give us a shotgun summary, where you're at, where people can support you, where people can find out more information, and what we need to do to push this thing forward.
Well, to support the court case, it's in the U.S. Supreme Court. It's called a writ of certiorari, and basically we're appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court to look at the case. And what's unique about it, and why we're optimistic, because, you know, about 3% ever get picked. The Supreme Court, if they don't pick it, it just stands. The Ninth Circuit rejection of the case would stand. So the Ninth Circuit said that voter confidence, that the government has no responsibility to maintain voter confidence. That's it in a nutshell. Yet the courts have ruled that the government has a strong responsibility to maintain public confidence in banks. public confidence in commerce, public confidence in the police and fire and other essential services. So we're arguing that just like Brown versus Board of Education, in which separate but equal caused a psychological harm to black children and white children during the Jim Crow days in the 1950s and 60s, obviously, and prior, we're saying that the conduct of the Oregon mail-in ballot system, the way it's structured with no security, no real safety, voter rolls that aren't updated, and
never.
And all that's in the case. People can read about it. The college students all get two ballots, and then they harvest them and fill them out and leak them into the count in Lane County. You know, that's in the court case. But all those were evidentiary things that the court, it seemed culturally, or I should say spiritually even, like the court had its mind made up before we even got in there. And of course, we did some antics and tricks to make sure all of that got put on the Ninth Circuit public record, which it did. And we were effective. And again, we have more support for this case now from independents, from Democrats, as well as Republicans, conservative, than anyone ever imagined we would have. Plus, it's now all the way in the Supreme Court, and we were able to get there on comparatively a shoestring budget.
Right.
And why? Because it's just a dynamic of motivated people. The right people have showed up at the right time to produce this. So it's a novel case, and it asks that fundamental question. Do local, state, and federal governments have an obligation to maintain the confidence of the majority of voters in a voting system? And no one's ever asked that question. It's never been tried. And so we're confident the Supreme Court is going to be interested in this. It's a novel case. And so we've been out.
What is a novel case?
Well, I'm sorry. Novel means it's the first time the question's ever been presented to the court.
Okay.
No one in the history of the United States, no one has asked this question. And we are claiming that under the 14th Amendment, that all citizens, voting citizens, are owed that service by the government. Because if we don't have confidence in our vote, we're not free. And the courts have established that voting is an expression of the First Amendment. It's an expression of freedom. And without a fair and free election system, then we don't have, we're Venezuela. We're something else. We're not America.
Right.
So there's some actual Supreme Court testimony from, I think it was the Texas case that the court back in 2021, the court didn't take up the case, but Justice Clarence Thomas wrote some statements that we're using in this appeal. And obviously his staff are going to flag that. And so that'll help get us a better look and hopefully some due consideration.
So in that, what's the timeline look like? Like what are we looking at? Would we expect to have a ruling or consideration or at least get into that 3% pool prior to the 2024
election? It's possible. So everything's open until the 15th of April.
We're getting right down to the point.
Yeah, and we're out looking for amicus briefs. There's still time if people want to. It's a friend of the court where people read the case. They can go to battlegroundoregon.org. Again, battlegroundoregon.org. And you can read the case. You can read the prior cases as well before the Ninth Circuit. Educate yourself on this issue if you got a passion for election integrity. And the thing is, what's great about this is it's so easy to talk about this. I can get up and say, we need to have confidence in our election system. And in Oregon, it's hard to do that when, and then you cite all the evidence. And it's great because you don't have to be steeped in law or have some kind of master's degree in whatnot to be able to follow this. Any citizen can read this and fully understand it and literally talk expertly in a sense about why confidence is so critical.
Well, I absolutely believe it is critical. It's kind of the fabric of everything. If they can convince us to not even stand up, I mean, essentially they are taking our rights away without having to actually lift a finger and do anything. All right, guys. It's crazy out here. We got Mark Thielman in the house. We are live streaming on X. Check us out at Noncompliant US. We got Mark Thielman, and we got Ben Edel coming on the next segment to talk about his situation going on with David Brock Smith and some of the things that he's been exposing with the windmills going on in Oregon. We'll be right back. All right, Ben, I'm going to make you a listener. To unmask the truth and expose the lies. The occupied forces do not want you to hear this broadcast. Breaking through the censorship and delivering raw, unedited content, it's Joshua Michael with Non-Compliant America. All right, welcome back, folks. Joshua Michael, Non-Compliant America. If you're streaming on X right now, this is a pre-recorded show for noncompliantamerica.com. You can check us out. Follow us on our podcast at noncompliantamerica.com. And this will be on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM, today at 4 p.m. We were talking with Mark Thielman, talking about the state of his lawsuit. But I know we got Ben Edel here that he's got a quick few minutes to give us a rundown with what's going on. And we'll jump back into Thielman. If you guys have any questions, feel free to chime in. Ben, let's give it a shot. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. How's my voice coming through?
It sounds amazing, buddy. It sounds amazing.
Awesome.
So give us a rundown. Yeah. We know you've been under some fire these past couple weeks. Give us kind of the situation, what's going on, where people can help you, where people can support you. What's up?
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, you know, back in 2020, when I was on my knees in the middle of the night at my coffee roastery, laying it all down, I stood up on my feet and I vowed that I was going to find the people responsible for the lockdowns and onset of communist governance in our state. And I went after Kate Brown, I went after Shamia Fagan, I went after Pat Allen at the OHA, and I have been on that crusade since then. And what blows my mind is that when I look at the voting records of some of the Republicans in our caucus leadership, and it's all pretty bad. They vote with progressives, and I'm like, why are they doing this? Like, this has always been a huge question for me since 2021, when I really started trying to understand what was really going on in our state. And we've discovered after Rob Taylor was thrown off the air, and I got brought into it to try to help Rob, and I got involved, and I started looking into the District 1 Republican Senator David Brock Smith, and we started going through his voting record, and there were some questions with some ties to China. That's what got Rob Taylor kicked off the air. He was threatened and bullied off the radio station was threatened and bullied, and he was ultimately fired. And I'm getting feedback. Shoot.
Oh, okay. I'll fix it. Go ahead.
No problem. It's distracting me. But
sorry, buddy.
Anyway, you're good. We started diving in and realizing that his number one largest donor is a billionaire from San Francisco who's a registered Democrat in California and a registered independent in Oregon. He's registered in both states. He made his money in Asia and China through the CCP as a, essentially like a hedge fund manager, a money broker. And he's donated all this money to David Brock Smith, over $150,000 directly through him. And we started asking questions. And David Brock Smith is on the Oregon China board. He's the chair of the Southern Oregon China Connection. And
so this is a Republican, right?
This is a Republican. Yeah,
okay.
This is a Republican.
Yeah.
This is one of the most powerful Republicans in the entire legislature because he's the money mule. If you look at his CNEs, you look at his Orstar financial campaign finance reports, this guy has donated or paid off the vast majority of all the Republican legislators in Salem. And money's going through him, and he's distributing it out to the caucus and distributing it out to other members. And that normally that's fine, but when actually it's wonderful normally. But when your money's tied to China, that's a serious issue. So we evaluated his voting record, and the most egregious socialist communist bills to hit our state since 2020, okay, this guy voted for or he sponsored, including the windmills that are going into Coos Bay that nobody in the district wants.
Right.
And so I'm like, hey, how are we going to beat Democrats? How are we going to push back this progressive attack on our constitutional rights and our independence and our civil liberties, if our own Republicans in Salem, the most powerful Republicans in Salem, are voting right alongside them, making these horrific bills bipartisan? Because the Democrats can just turn around and say, well, it's bipartisan support, right? Yep. We need to have Republicans that have some stones that are going to say no to these bills, just like many Republicans that we have, like Linda Cummins and Robinson and other ones. We have to be able to have Republicans that say, hey, we brought our own bill. We're not voting for the Democrat bill. Look what happened with the Measure 110 reform. You know, Republicans brought a good bill. Democrats wouldn't even let it out of committee. Fair enough, right? They got the majority. They don't have to do that. But then the Republicans, instead of saying, hey, this is our bill, public, this is our bill, news media, this is the one we're standing behind, they instead all got together and voted for the Democrat bill.
Right.
And it makes no sense.
Well, it does.
And David Brock Smith and all these people, they can say all they want to that I don't understand legislative process, I don't understand the gaming, I don't understand the complexities of being a legislature, but I'll tell you right now, I do understand it. Don't vote for the communist bills and you won't get attacked and you won't get taken down.
Well, and that comes down to the original point. David Brock Smith sponsored this windmill bill, is that correct?
He's the chief sponsor, and you know who co-sponsored it? Every single Democrat from Portland.
There you go. Okay,
well,
so he's voting...
That. Every co-sponsor on that bill was a Democrat legislature from Portland.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught the first segment of the show, but we were talking about that, you know, how the state of the ORP is super messy, and people are be like, we all got to unite, because everything we hear all the time, oh, Reagan, we need to unite and all this stuff. The fact is just like a cancer, we got to cut all this stuff out, and I think what you're doing is phenomenal. It's very important. It's important we amplify this message and we put pressure on this guy to let them know in a very, very red county, this guy is representing, voting right in hand, sometimes single-handedly only with the radical Democrats in Portland. Who is this guy really? Where does he get his funding? And we think what you're doing is amazing. So since then, we got to go to a break here in just a second. But since then, you've had a cease and desist letter sent to you from these guys. Yep. After exposing them. Tell us a little bit about that real quick. We got 30 seconds.
All right, 30 seconds. The cease and desist letter is completely baseless. Obviously, we put a meme out with a quote that said, I voted for tampons in little boys' bathrooms. And they're saying that I'm lying and it violates campaign communication laws. Look, he voted for tampons in little boys' bathrooms. He voted to ban the straws that we all loved instead of those stupid paper straws. And you know what? While he's banning straws, he's also putting the windmills in the ocean. So to keep those straws out of the ocean, now he's going to have 250 square miles of windmills that'll last for about 15 years and then become a windmill graveyard right in the pristine waters of Coos County. And I'm telling you, yeah, this is total insanity. Okay, so I have no fear. When the second I got that cease and desist letter, I doubled down, and I've taken the quotes off, and I'm going to repost everything without the quotes, and that's my FU to them.
Yeah,
I'll take the quotes off. He still says I voted for tampons in little boys' bathrooms, and I voted for windmills in Coos County and all the other ones. I mean, it's crazy. His voting record's crazy. Go to ruckpack.org/DBS. ruckpack.org/DBS.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, brother.
Yep.
Broadcasting from the former state of Oregon in FEMA Region 10, it's your host, Joshua Michael.
All right, folks, that was great talking to Ben. We are live on X, in case you guys don't know. You can follow us at Noncompliant US on X. We're doing live broadcasts here. You guys can interject and have a conversation just like you call in on the radio. You can join us and call us right on X. So we have Michaela Marie. She is the vice chair for Douglas County. She came in and she had some things to say in regards to the situation with David Brock Smith. And we were talking about that. And she has some couple things to say. So Michaela, if you want to unmute your mic, go ahead and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. My name is Michaela Hammerson. I am the vice chair of the Douglas County Republicans, and I wanted to build on a little bit of what Ben was talking about. We have a situation going on here in Douglas County with this primary election, and what has happened is the America First Executive Committee members have been facing a lot of pushback for the questions that we've been asking of David Brock Smith. We've been told that, you know, Republicans have to support whoever the incumbent Republican is during a primary, and that we're not allowed to ask the questions that we've been asking. So basically, there's been about a 5-month battle regarding this primary that's been coming up. And what it has resulted in is on April 18th, the Douglas County Republicans are requesting a recall of all of the America First executive committee members. Now, these executive committee members are not in support of David Brocksmith. We're questioning the voting record. We're questioning some of the financial ties and some other things that are going on. And because we've asked those questions, they are going to attempt to recall six of our board members on April 18th at 6 p.m. It's going to be at the OSU Annex. And we are asking anybody who believes in free speech, who believes in being able to support who you want to support in a primary, and who is anti-communism, to come to the OSU Annex on April 18th and show your support for the America First board members. We're really hoping that we can get a big showing there and that we can send a message that it's not okay to silence free speech.
Absolutely. And you guys are just simply asking regular questions, right? Like you're
absolutely,
and they're reasonable yes. questions. They're not made up. They're not, you know, far-fetched or anything. It's a fact where he's mm-hmm. getting his money. It's a fact which what's going on, and we have the right to know. And this is part of the process. This kind of goes into what we're talking about in the very beginning, is that we have to root these people out. They've been there for a long time. There's some deep pockets that are creating disruption, and they're moving things along. You ever wonder why Oregon keeps getting more progressive? I mean, the education system, what are we, number 50? In yep. the States mm-hmm. right now.
Yep, we finally made it.
We finally made it. Hoorah, right? So it's, we have to ask ourselves, like, we have to change our tactics, and we can no longer go along to get along. We can't all just unite and sing kumbaya as we watch the state burn down. We have to get active. And so I commend you. I think it's amazing. Everybody should rally behind these people. If you're in that county, in that area, in or around there, this is the important thing that needs to happen. Because one, it sounds like these people are doing great, these representatives that are getting outed simply for just asking questions. We have to stand behind that, folks. This is the hill to die on, is preserving free speech, especially within our party, especially within the Republican Party that talks about free speech this, free speech that, everybody getting ousted. Now, we've had a reprieve from, you know, the nonsense that kind of correlated with COVID, but rest assured, it's not going away. Rest assured, they're going to try it again. Then everybody's going to want to rally behind these people. So as we need to get behind these people right now, it could be us in the near future. So, Michaela, I commend you. Where can people contact you? How do they get a hold of you?
You can reach me. My phone number, I'll just put it out there. It's already out there, but it's 541-908-5375. And my email address is Michaela. It's michaela.hamerson, hammerson at protonmail.com.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So many times people are scared of that. I think putting your number out there really says a lot about you and a lot about your character and where you're at. So there you have it, folks. If you want to get a hold of Michaela and get behind this movement, we got to stand behind these people for asking questions. It's all correlated. It's all related. All these guys are in bed. They're all coming from the same cloth, and we got to root them out, just like what we did with Solomon the other day. You know, this is the movement. We are the new Republican Party. And we're no longer going to go along, and we're no longer going to compromise. So just like Oregon Firearms Federation is a no-compromise Second Amendment organization, we need to have a no-compromise Republican organization. And that's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
So we commend you, and thank you so much, Michaela. Mark, do you got anything
Thanks
to add?
So
well, Michaela, what time would you need warriors to show up on the 18th?
Oh, you know, we are still in the process of organizing, but I would say 5 p.m. at the latest is probably the time to show up.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for that.
Thanks, Michaela.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yep. Okay, so, Mark, you got the Supreme Court thing going on. I know we kind of got into it a little bit. Everybody's going to ask me. They always ask me questions. Oh, Mark, he's got, you know, his political career is over.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, he's screwed the pooch. He's done this. He's done that. You know, I think anybody that is successful is always going to have controversy tied around them. You know, just Trump, Elon. I'm not comparing you to all those guys, but I'm just saying anybody with any controversy is going to be effective. Look at Rob Taylor, right? He got removed from his radio show for simply asking about David Brock Smith and calling him out legitimately on bills and things that he sponsored. So there's always going to be controversy. I'm not scared of controversy. I'm not scared of any pushback or anything else. But what do you say to all the naysayers that maybe they believed in you before? Now they're like, ah, I can't affiliate or associate with him. Do you have any words for them? How, what do we do to kind of gain traction? Because here's the thing. They always want to go after the man and dilute the cause, right?
Yep.
They want to distort the cause by going after the man. And, you know, we were talking earlier about personal issues and things like that. But here's the thing. I don't care how the delivery system is going to get there. This is going to help everybody.
It already has. Yeah.
Exactly. But everybody should get behind this despite whatever feelings they have towards you or
Let me give you an example.
Whatever they think.
People say that the people saying my political career is over or it's encumbered or, you know, I made some critical errors in my personal life, et cetera, et cetera. That's all a bunch of horse crap. I mean, if David Brock Smith can vote for windmills that all of his constituents hate and still keep his job, I have a feeling I'll recover.
Right.
So what I did is I put my helmet on, I dipped down in the foxhole, and I got my house in order. And then I came out, and guess what? This writ of certiorari was delivered to the U.S. Supreme Court, shocked the tar out of the Brock Smiths of the world. It really did. And they were like, how did he get that? How did he pull that off?
Right.
Well, I did it because I have tons of people behind me. Why? They may not like me or many decisions I make, but they understand that we need confidence in our election system. And it's the message that's the threat.
It absolutely is the message.
And when the message is delivered effectively, which we've managed to do with the battleground kind of motif, which is really, you know, it's a Mark Thielman campaign. And it's called competence, you know, amen to that. And when you have a competent message, it's extremely difficult for the Brock Smiths of the world to suppress that. And they do not want me to speak, as you know. That's why it might be fun to show up on the 18th just for kicks and giggles.
Right. Might have to show up on the 18th too. I think it'll be fun. And it's important for us, you know, there's a level of sacrifice that goes into preservation and restoring the liberties of this state. We have to sacrifice. Sacrifice time, sacrifice, you know, going skiing or going boating or whatever. These are the fights that are important. We can talk about all the national stuff all day long and get distracted in a bunch of national different things. But the fact is that if we don't have our house in order in our state and our counties and our cities, then there's no point in focusing on any of the federal stuff because that's where the fight is. And that's where they don't want us to focus it on. So they try to make it boring and everything else. But one thing that I've always noticed and I've admired about you and your campaigns and different things like that is your effective marketing and messaging. Something about what you do and what you say cuts through so much of the stuff. And I believe that's probably why they think you're such a threat, is the fact that if you look at the Republican Party of Oregon and their messaging, most of the time, it's horrid and it's so diluted in some milquetoast argument. They never cut down to the bone to get down to the core of what people want. And I think that's what you do, which ultimately that's what people want, is that raw content.
Well, let me jump in. I'll explain that. So what we have is we have a broken culture in the Oregon Republican Party, and that culture has served itself on a 40-year long losing mission. So Solomon Yu, for example, is a great example of someone who benefited in that genre or that regime in which we seek to not offend and we attack anyone who threatens our position of power. I mean, Solomon Yu is famous for bringing down other fellow Republicans, except he didn't survive this round.
Right.
And he was tenacious. And, you know, we ended up with a national committee chairman who neither side of the issue were as excited about. But the thing that everyone needs to note is, we've got someone that kind of a compromise candidate, if you will. But it's not Solomon you.
Right.
Focus on that. Solomon's power is waning. It's a big win.
Yep.
And the next step is to get someone we are excited about. And that will happen in the next election.
I'm excited. Mark Thielman, folks. We'll be right back. Me and my buddy, we make it all of this money. Yeah. I know it's rude to be bragging. They never catching us lagging. Me and my buddy, we working hard for this money. We got one more segment.
Oh man.
Oh man. Oh man.
Oh man. Oh man. Not again. Yeah, I learned a game from William Wesley. You can never.
Welcome back,
check
folks. Last segment, Joshua Michael, non-compliant America. Can you feel the resurgence happening in the Oregon Republican Party? I sure can. All these fighters, all these people that were in the trenches and been in the trenches and been snuffed out, lied about, and distorted and manipulated and tried to have their lives destroyed and everything else. These guys are fighters, men and women are fighters. And that is the new Republican Party. That is the movement that we stand behind. Peaceful non-compliance is the key to the success of the restoration of this, and also not moving an inch and taking steps forward despite whatever goes on in the culture, despite whatever type of feedback that you get and whatever type of attacks. We are very aware of the attacks. I personally believe to my core, we are entering in the near future, we're going to have a new golden age of people that are, their wit, they're strong, they're wise, and they're privy to these attacks in which what they're trying to do. Now, it might seem hopeless at times. You know, we're looking on the internet all the time, trying to get our news, trying to get our information. Understand that core of information, whether it be Google or all these major outlets, Facebook, if anybody's still on Facebook, is anybody still on Facebook? But it's all meant to demoralize you and to cause you to give up, right? And so we like to obviously talk about what's coming, you know, this big eclipse, who knows what kind of nonsense that they're going to try to pull. There's all these governors declaring state of emergencies, rolling out the National Guards. We have CERN going to be blasting some high frequency weapon at this thing. NASA is going to be launching 3 space rockets, which are all named after like Egyptian serpents. I mean, just some really strange things are happening. But just know, any distraction that is being fermented or risen or put in front of us, it's all meant to try to distort the path that we're projecting on, which I believe is the manifest destiny. It's God's will. It's inevitable. These people have already screwed the pooch. They're very weak in regards to having an honest debate, having honest discussion. Nobody likes their policies, so it's easy to get the public on board with any type of policy that these guys are on. They're like, yeah, hey, we want to put tampons in the boys' bathroom. Who thinks that's a good idea? Nobody ever. You know, because that's not what regular people want. That's not how parents operate. You know, there's some warped parents out there that make the news, but the average person, they just want to be let live. They just want to get a job. They want to make money. They want to watch their kids grow up and have a better life than they are. So the messaging is great, and you're great at it, at doing the messaging, which is why I think that have attacked you so much. Is because of your effective messaging. They don't want the word getting out. Hey, there's a Supreme Court case on the books, representing by Oregonians that could potentially change the entire political voting landscape. So, you know, let's forward think here. And I don't like to be too optimistic, but at the same time, it's important to flush this stuff out because, you know, I believe hope is just as important as, you know, awareness. I don't want to call it fear, but just being aware of your situation. If this thing were to pass or go to the Supreme Court, Supreme Court has a ruling, right? What does that do? Does that overturn basically the entire voting system? Or does that tell all of the governments of these states, hey, you guys got to up your game and change your stuff? Because here's the same thing. At the same time, The Secretary of State, as you know, passed, I think it was like 6 months ago, the misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. Right. So at the same time, the no confidence thing is moving forward, which obviously, yes, it is. The state, I believe, is trying to roll out a monitoring infrastructure to where I believe this is the angle they would take. They'd be like, hey, guys, look, we're protecting democracy. We're protecting your vote because we're monitoring all of the bad Russian disinformation out there. So in the name of your safety, we're going to censor all of this stuff.
Well, on that lawsuit about mismal and disinformation, the state made the mistake of having Luc Ballon, who's number two in charge of the Supreme or Secretary of State's office, write a declaration saying that they have to surveil you, they have to violate your rights, but don't worry, they're not interested in you, Josh. They're just interested in trends. Now, we're on public record because they tried to block our deposition. We had to go through a costly process to get a judge to force him to show up, and the judge only gave us 2 hours. Well, 2 hours turned out to be all we needed. About halfway through the deposition, you know, we take a break, and Stephen Jonkis says to me, he says, well, Mark, you know, what do you think? Do you have any questions you want me to ask him? And of course, I did what I always do. I said, as a matter of fact, I do. And I said, I want you to ask him about the confidence. That it's the metaphysical question. Why do you need to surveil? What are you trying to protect? And when he was asked that question, Luc Ballon, who's on record on this first case saying that confidence isn't an issue and it's not real and governments aren't responsible for it. Because that's what they said in the Ninth Circuit Court.
In their response.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The same guy in this deposition on the surveillance case says, well, we're trying to protect the confidence of Oregonians in the mail-in ballot system.
Right.
And it's public. Well, it's, oh my gosh, you're talking about putting a noose around your neck and hanging yourself. That deal, because I audibly said in the deposition, I went, gotcha. And they noted that. His attorneys noted that. The Justice Department people noted that. And what I was telling Steve after the hearing, you know, we're on the sidewalk saying, well, in the debrief, I said, you watch, they're going to change their messaging from safe and secure elections because they already bought the commercials. So guess what? They got another $150,000 recently from the short session. Why? Because they had to make all new commercials and they rolled them out just this last week.
What's the messaging?
Here it is.
1 minute.
We have to have Oregon's mail-in balloting and it has to be counted by machines and you have to believe everything we say because we are supporting accurate elections. Complete change in wording. Now we're down to accurate. Well, you can accurately count counterfeit money all day long, Josh. 100%.
Well, we learned that in Philadelphia when they were recycling the same ballots over and over. The machine doesn't know. The machine's just looking. Hey,
it's a ballot.
Testing when we were kids. It's just bubbles, right? That's all it's reading. It's not like they're not serial numbered and they're just recycling it. So that's the messaging. And that's, you know, that goes back to the 2016 election and different things like that. But Mark, how do people support you? Where do they go? I think this is great. We got to have you on again. Where do people go to support you?
Well, they go to battlegroundoregon.net. Okay. .org, battlegroundoregon.org or Jonkis, JONCUS.net. Jonkis is an attorney. If you need a legal question, go to Jonkis, JONCUS.net. If you want to support us financially, go to battlegroundoregon.org. You can give online or you can mail it in your support. It all makes a difference. We've had this wonderful stream of donations that helps make this all possible. And it's all small grassroots donating people, just like you and me. We're just hardworking people pitching in their, you know, 50, 100, 250. And we're making this thing a reality, and it's got national attention, and it's changing the very verbiage of our government. That's called being effective.
That's right.
What we're about.
This is what they don't want, folks. They don't want active citizens asking questions, getting involved, doing actual work, and putting their money where their mouth is, forcing these guys to retreat and reconsider. You're listening to Joshua Michael, Noncompliant America. Make sure to go to noncompliantamerica.com, like and subscribe. Share with your friends, guys. This is how we restore the republic. Even in the blue state of Oregon, we can do it, folks. We can do it. Mark, thank you very much for coming on.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week. Hey, real quick, This eclipse is coming up. They are going to try to pull something. So you have about a day or two to get prepared. It's better to be prepared. It's better to have it, not need it, than need it and not have it, folks. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.